Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Now, in for Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Scafidi.
I'm gonna make this place yours.
Oh, I get to stretch my legs a little bit on the upswing. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen out there, to a bonus hour of me, but it's really the upswing. Jeff Sherman getting a well-deserved day off after a great start to his program. And I have a special guest in studio today. Now, one of the things the upswing does, the program, is to bring local leaders, inspirational leaders, thought leaders, CEOs, and my guest is like all of those things.
Uh-huh.
Carl Miller from Miller Communications. First of all, I haven't seen you well. How are you?
I'm great. I just got back from spring training, and I can't get more excited about opening day next week.
All right, we got to ask you some Brewers questions.
All right.
So you were at spring training. How was spring training?
It was great.
Yeah.
Weather you see a lot of guys you're never going to see again because they're trying them out. But
right.
Yeah, everybody there is excited about baseball finally returning and spring coming with it.
Do you go to spring training every year?
No.
No.
I did in the past. We dropped it for COVID, but three of my kids wanted to go again, and we just said, we're doing it.
I don't want to forget to do this. So I know Miller Communications because we had a relationship with City of Oak Creek during the Sikh Temple
Absolutely.
Tragedy shooting, and you sort of held our hand and led us through some of that with some great messaging and some leadership behind the scenes. For the folks who don't know Miller Communications, everybody who works in Milwaukee pretty much does,
right.
Describe your company.
Sure. So we're a marketing communications company, but really started out mainly experts in media relations. Today, it's all about digital communications, et cetera. But I've had a great run and some great clients, including Major League Baseball, Bud Selig, the Milwaukee Brewers. Had a great run with all of that. Still a big baseball fan as we speak. And
well, you casually name drop Bud Selig. He's a friend of yours.
I would call him a friend,
yeah.
But
How's he doing?
He's doing great. You know, he's chronologically advantaged like some of the rest of us, but still very much into the game, paying close attention. I don't mind mentioning struggling a lot with the recent news about Ohtani and
right.
gambling.
What do you think of that story?
I'm greatly troubled by it. I can't believe that they're telling the truth, but they'll find out. The truth will out. Major League Baseball will force it out.
I'm doing a podcast next Friday with one of our teammates here who covers sports, and it's a big question because, let's face it, Carl, the professional leagues and organizations have sort of embraced gambling, not for their players or managers or coaches, but for everybody else. And when you bring that in, it does bring a risk of some of these things happening.
So why are they embracing it, Steve?
Money.
Money. But also, 38, I think, states now have legalized gambling. So, hello, the rest of the country is going that direction. But what happens when you have that level of money being spent? It'll corrupt you, somebody. And if you don't pay attention to that, you'll ruin the game.
Well, you and I are both old enough to know that there's been stories like this before where players just got banned. Pete Rose is the most famous example in baseball, but other sports as well. I think Paul Hornung was embroiled in some of this stuff back in the 60s. Lots of things have happened in our history, but this is a full-on embrace. Yes, it's about money, but it also challenges a league to really have strict control over their organization and their players and their teams. I don't know if they can manage that.
Well, people forget that the Office of Commissioner was created a little over 100 years ago because of the Black Sox scandal.
Yeah, yeah.
Big gambling scandal.
Neither of us were alive then.
That's right. But nevertheless, commissioners since have been very strict about no gambling. There's always a sign in every clubhouse saying if you gamble on the game, you will be banished for life. Pete Rose knew that, and so did everybody else.
And there's no going back. Once you're there, pretty much you're all
done.
In. Yeah.
Right.
All right, so I've got to ask you the Craig Council question before we wrap up our Brewers conversation.
Oh, no.
So Craig Council goes to the Cubs. It was a shocking move. I remember the day that happened. We spent most of the program hours on this station talking
right.
about that. Your feelings about Craig Council going to the dreaded Cubs.
I hear you. So I'm a Milwaukee baseball fan. Milwaukee's got the best fans in Major League Baseball. They're loyal. but you slap them in the face, look out, all right? And going to another club, hey, can't hold somebody back for any reason other than, hey, good luck to you.
Also about money.
Also about money. But you go to the Cubs, that's a slap in the face. And I think I'm like every other Milwaukee fan. Ooh, that was wrong.
What do you think the reaction and the acceptance will be when he comes back to Milwaukee, American Family Field?
Oh, my God. So you go to American Field, when we're playing the Cubbies, half that ballpark will be Cubs fans.
Maybe more now. Who knows?
Who knows? But half of them, at least, will be Brewers fans booing their manager. What's going to happen? Look out.
Maybe tone down the alcohol sales that day. But then, you know, folks have a right to
that
make.
That might help.
That might help. Carl Miller, the great Carl Miller from Miller Communications, joining us after the break. Your story's amazing. Sort of the ways you've touched Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin. I want to dig a little deeper on some of that stuff, because you've touched politics, journalism, and certainly marketing and public relations now. Carl Miller, my guest on The Upswing, right here on WTMJ. Welcome to The Upswing on Friday here on WTMJ. Steve Committee filling in for Jeff Sherman, who's, I'm not going to say on assignment, he's off today, and he well-deserved day off. My special guest for the entire hour, Carl Miller, Miller Communications. I've known him for about almost two decades. We'll get to your origin story, because it's a good one. But you told me a great story during the break. We were talking Brewers.
Right.
You sort of do look like Bob Uecker, so when you go to the game, you get some unusual fan requests and
I'm
stuff.
I'm telling you, guys will come up to me, just start talking to me, and I finally have to tell them, hey, I'm not Bob Uecker, all right?
Yeah, because you look like him.
But I was out there, and this guy comes up to me, starts at, and I tell him, I'm not Bob Uecker. He says, that's okay, I want to talk to you anyway.
Well, that's good. That means you got something to say.
Right.
How many games a year do you go to?
Oh, as many as I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Your origin story is fascinating. We were talking before the show started about some of the things you've done. Let's go through it, because this is one of the reasons why I think you're really good at what you do. You have a very balanced, I think for any job, any career, if you have a balance of experience, it makes you better at the end than at the beginning.
Absolutely.
So tell the story.
Yeah, I used to try to impress my mom with all the career moves I was making, and she said, why can't you keep a steady job?
Right.
So really born and raised here, but went off to school, came back, reporter, editor at the Milwaukee Sentinel.
What'd you cover?
Politics, state government, got to know Jim Clouser, Tommy Thompson.
And my guy Bill McCoshin.
Absolutely. So that was great education, being a journalist back in the day. But went to work for Governor Martin J. Shriver when he became governor.
Great governor.
Yeah, great guys. Still close friends today. Anyway, that taught me a lot. You on the inside, seeing how things really happen up in the state capitol. It's not pretty, but you learn.
You're making a sausage. It's a little messy.
And you make a lot of contacts, friends. So came back to my home city to be an assistant chancellor, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee.
Proud Panther.
Run. Yeah, to go Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
But got involved in John Norquist's first mayoral campaign. He wins, has me come in as his first chief of staff. Another great learning experience, but got to know a lot more people, and particularly Milwaukee's business and political leadership. So then from there, it's into the business. Logical move, right?
Right.
Started my own company. And
so you say it like it's just nothing, but that's a big deal. I had my own business for about 9 years. It's a big thing. A lot of process to get it going. I did some marketing.
My God.
I did it part-time. You know how you have Miller Communications now has, I think, 35 or 40 employees.
That's right.
Big, big agency. At the beginning, what was it like?
It was basically 12, 20 hours a day, you know, all 7 days a week. When you're the boss, you don't have that big a staff. Work has to get done. The staff went home at 5. You stayed till 10 o'clock, you know, and weekends. And yeah, thankfully, my wife was very tolerant of that, at least for a while. But no, it's a challenge. It's a learning experience. And the key advice I would have is hire smart people, smarter than you if you can.
That's good advice for any CEO or business leader, any leader of any kind. The people working for you should be as smart or smarter than you.
Yeah, but sometimes your ego gets in the way. Yeah, you're a little intolerant.
Everybody has an ego.
Yeah.
So let me ask you about the messaging when you started in your business. What was your mission statement? What were you going to do for clients and customers?
Right. So we were primarily media relations, really plugged in, and that was a pretty vibrant media in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
And then governmental affairs, all my government background. But that really evolved over the years into a much broader, now digital media presence.
So let me talk about the politics side of things. One of the things that I think you and I share is that we believe there's a place for bipartisanship, compromise, actual communication. It's in the title of Miller Communications for a reason. It's really important. That's the fabric that really makes things happen. When you see what's sort of happened in politics today, what do you think?
I think the voters are upset about this, fed up with this, not only partisanship, but now the infighting within the parties themselves, especially the Republican Party, which part of which you got into in the earlier segment.
Mm-hmm.
But in my day, I'll give you one example, and that is John Norquist gets elected. He's not even sworn in yet. I get a call from Madison from Jim Clouser's office. He's deputy governor to Tommy Thompson. We want to have a meeting. When? Tomorrow. Where? State office building, Milwaukee. I go to Norquist. We got a meeting with the governor tomorrow. What's it about? I don't know. We sit down, and Jim Clouser asked me, what do you want from us? We wanted cabinet government, which no mayor had had in Milwaukee. In other words, all the department heads appointed by the mayor and serving at the pleasure of. This calls for a change in state law. So we told him what we wanted. It was more than that, but that was the big one. And I said, well, what do you want from us? And he looked at me and he said, a good day for Governor Thompson is when the mayor of Milwaukee doesn't say anything bad about him. Hmm. Didn't ask us for anything other than don't badmouth us.
Right.
That was you're a mayor. Your job is to take care of your city. Don't worry about politics at the state level with the governor's office. We passed that bill in one afternoon through both houses, committees. No, it had never been done before. It'll never happen again.
Leadership defined by an idea and an action.
You want to work together, we'll make it happen.
So put your Miller Communications hat on and look at politics today. How would you, from that perspective, address some of the concerns that the voters, as you said, correctly said, have with the current state of affairs, which is a, for lack of a better term, a train wreck?
Right.
How would you fix it? Or at least try to fix
it? Things are changing as we speak, Steve. I think you look at the voters, it's constantly changing. Some people are aging out. We've got new generations arriving. The younger generation increasingly a major part of the voters. Women voters are changing in terms of not only what they're thinking, what they're doing. I think it's happening now, and I think the Republican Party, as we know it, is out of step with that. I can't speak for the Democrats, but or I don't want to, but I think you're going to see that change continue to occur. It's going to happen at the grassroots level, and the people in elective office are going to have to respond.
You don't have to answer this question, but I ask anyway. Who's a good example of a local leader? And it could be local, could be state.
Yeah,
but Milwaukee, because we're Milwaukee focused here.
I'll give you a bonus. I'll give you two of them.
All right.
I look at the current mayor, Cavalier Johnson, the current county executive,
David Crowley.
Crowley, these guys work together. My history, as long as I can remember, is the mayor hated the county executive. The county executive fought with the county board. The mayor fought with the common council. The city fought with the county. This went on for generations. Today, they work together. They go to Madison together, and they make things happen. Even though they're technically Democrats, the Republicans think we need to work with these guys. It's in our political interest to work with them.
I asked and you answered two names, and I agree with you on both. Our guest, Carl Miller from Miller Communications. We'll take a quick break here. We've got the bottom of the hour news with local news and the best and the worst from ABC. That's news, folks. We'll continue the conversation a full hour with Carl Miller right here on The Upswing. I said the name right. I was worried there. I was going to say my old other show's name. Quick break here on WTMJ. A couple minutes before the bottom of the hour news with local news from County Weber and ABC, our guest this entire hour on The Upswing, Carl Miller from Miller Communications. I want to ask you the Milwaukee question. We can continue it around the news to kind of expand it. You mentioned his name, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. He's sort of set a goal of 1 million residents.
Right.
Now, I don't think we've ever, we've gone up to like, I think almost 800,000.
That's correct.
Yes.
Yeah, right, it's under 800.
It's just over 600 now.
Right.
In your mind, your experiences, your leadership skills, what would it take to do that? And how would that look? How would that manifest?
Right. So really, it's happening as we speak. Changes in Milwaukee are incredible. I don't know if you're, people are paying attention, but when you see cranes in the air, they're building high-rise apartments.
That is different for this community.
Totally. So there's really two ways that I see it happening, two major ways. One is continue to build on what's happening downtown, which is now spreading way beyond. The Third Ward is still the hottest real estate in Wisconsin, but now spilling over into the north side of downtown, Bayview, Garden District. But we need to look at the north side of Milwaukee and talk about how do you restore home ownership. How do you, there's a lot of homes, existing high quality homes on the north side, which is being devastated by absentee landlords. So how do we push back against that? I'm working on that, and I would say the primary focus today for us is the Sherman Park neighborhood, which is incredible housing stock, but still threatened by the forces of evil.
We'll continue this after the news, but I was speaking in Boston a few, this has got to be 5 or 6 years ago, and I was listening to another presentation, and the and that same question was asked, how do you take these areas that are just suffering and make them better? And the speaker, I don't remember his name, said you basically do it block by block.
Yes.
You get after the folks who aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, certainly.
Right.
You upgrade the housing, you find job opportunities for people, and even if it's going door to door and say, how can we help you? How can we get you to a place where you can right. earn a living? All of that stuff matters. Carl Miller is our guest. We're going to get take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Lots more to talk about with the sort of the guru of Milwaukee who loves this. You love this city, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I do too. So that'll be our conversation next half hour. Pleasure to fill in for Jeff Sherman on the Upswing. Kind of a bonus hour for me today, so I'm always appreciative of that. And thanks to all the folks on the text line who are weighing in with some comments as well. If you have a question for Carl, I'll try to weave that into the conversation throughout the next half hour. Fun to be with you on a Friday. As always, all of our programs, all of my podcasts available at WTMJ.com. Enjoying my time on the Upswing. Yes, it's me, Steve Scafidi, host of the Political Power Hour on WTMJ 9 to 10 every day, but Jeff Sherman is off today, so I have a opportunity to talk to one of the, I'll say it, legends of Milwaukee. Now, not everybody knows Carl Miller, but I do, and I've appreciated our working relationship and our personal relationship over the last almost 20 years. So we're talking a little bit about Milwaukee. Why do you love Milwaukee so much?
You know, I go start with, it's a beautiful city, but the people more than anything else. And what kept bringing me back, moved away 3 times.
Where'd you go?
Well, first to Madison. Went to school in Madison, UW-Madison. But then covering the state capitol from Milwaukee Sentinel for a year. So then moved there to work for the governor. I started my career in Oshkosh as a newspaper reporter. So big difference between Oshkosh
right,
and Milwaukee.
Right.
But why do you keep going back? Because I love the city and the people in it.
You know, I always tell people, because I've said since we being GKB and WTMJ, moved downtown, I love working downtown.
Right.
It's the best. And I never really worked in a downtown before.
Right.
I got close, but not in this kind of a, you know, Wisconsin Avenue downtown arrangement. And the vibrancy, diversity, people, just what people are talking about is different than my city, Oak Creek. Different right. different things to
yep.
that hit their gray matter. I love that diversity of thought and opinion. Love it.
So that's Milwaukee today and in the future, but cities keep reinventing themselves. Where we're sitting today in the Grand Avenue, this has changed over 3 times.
I remember the original, right?
Right?
Yeah.
In my lifetime, I've watched that happen, and I think you're right about diversity. The generation XYZ thrives on diversity. They seek it out. That's why you have all these new apartment high-rises going up and people wanting to live, work, and have a great time in the downtown.
You mentioned the million-dollar number that Kevlar Johnson has thrown out. You mentioned in your opening remarks.
Million people.
Million yeah. people. What did I yeah. say, dollar?
$1 million, but that's all right.
It'll cost more than $1 million.
That's right.
Trust me. Other ideas to make that happen. Here's the one that I think people don't put enough emphasis on. Having really good competitive professional sports teams can actually play into that.
No question
The fact
about
that the Bucks won a world championship in, what, 2021?
Right.
Brewers always competitive. We'll see what happens this year. Packers, it's been a while, but 2010 is not that long ago.
Right.
Having that environment also helps. What are some of the other things that play into that story?
All right. So if we're talking about getting a million people,
yes,
we have to provide a place for them to live. And we're talking about attractive, safe neighborhoods. And that starts with home ownership. So a big piece of this puzzle is to guarantee that once a home goes into home occupant owning the home, how do we guarantee that continues? Because today there's a lot of money going into the north side of Milwaukee, money, investors' money, buying up home after home. Now they're being leased out. They're getting top rents, putting no money back in, and destroying homes and whole blocks and whole neighborhoods.
I have thought for a long time, it's not just Milwaukee, any area.
Right.
A city can set standards. If that home or whatever is purchased, here's our standard, meet that standard. Now, right. that's not great news for people that swoop in and buy these properties.
Right.
But there should be a standard here. You know, one of the easy ones is, something that should have happened a long time ago. Lead laterals. You come in and buy that property, you're replacing that. That's on you. Get rid of that problem. Because right. It's silly that we're still talking about this decades after we realize that it's a serious issue.
Right. But guaranteeing home ownership in a block will cause other people independently want to come in and buy a home in that block. And you can speak to people in Wauwatosa, Glendale, Shorewood, some of the adjacent communities to Milwaukee. And absolutely, it scares them to see what's happening close to their borders. They can't stop it from creeping over.
What's the biggest challenge that Milwaukee faces?
I think it's finding a way to provide the financial ability for people to own a home, then putting in place a guarantee that if they have to sell, it goes back to an owner-occupant. And two key ingredients. One is the Milwaukee Community Land Trust, which can help guarantee that only occupants may be in that home. Owners may occupy the home. And then providing the financial and other ability for new people to come in and own and maintain a home in that neighborhood. So we're putting these pieces together today. It's in the works.
He is Carl Miller, Miller Communications, a company he founded how many years ago?
32
years. That's a good run.
Right.
Still going strong. I just spoke to your group. I want to talk to you about that after the break. An interesting title, one of the people I met when I spoke to sort of their Lunch and Learn series they do there, which is fantastic, and I've done it a couple times at Miller Communications. The title that intrigued me, Corporate Concierge, and I had a chance to sit down with your Corporate Concierge, a concept that is sort of unique to Miller Communications, and although I think it's going to catch on, we'll have that conversation with Carl Miller, the great Carl Miller, I should say, after this on The Upswing. Spending the hour on The Upswing. Thanks to Jeff Sherman letting me sit in on this Friday. My guest, Carl Miller, Miller Communications in Milwaukee. A texter asked this question, your thoughts on getting that to that million population, but being one of the most segregated cities in America, how do we make that math work?
Yeah, thank you for raising that. So at least once a year we get a headline. Somebody did a study of the most segregated cities in the country, Milwaukee, number one. But if you read the story, largely census data, it's the most segregated metropolitan area in the United States. City of Milwaukee has open housing issues to an extent, but it's really the larger metropolitan area, which thankfully is becoming more diverse. But what do we do about it? You know, we were going to get that headline, and I think you have with the new mayor, Mayor Johnson and David Crowley, African-American young politicians really interested in reaching out and changing the way we're perceived. So how do we become the most diverse and most successful at integrating our communities, plural? So there was a lot of, you know, open housing marches, et cetera, over the years, but also a lot of battling going on between the city and its suburbs. We've ended that. And you see, when you were mayor of Oak Creek, a real willingness to work together and an understanding that we either rise together or we go down together.
One of the things I learned from the lessons of the tragedy in Oak Creek in 2012 was diversity is really important. And I've said this in presentations that one of my failures was not knowing the Sikh community before the shooting to any great degree. I had met them on a couple of small issues.
Right.
But any local leader or big city leader, and I would put Milwaukee in the big city category, should make an effort to understand the people they serve. It's not, this is the mistake that elected officials make. It's not just the people who voted for you. It's everybody you serve. That changes once the election's decided. It's not no longer partisan. It's nonpartisan. Everybody is there for you. You have to be there for them.
Right.
That message is important. And I think about this issue in a lot of different ways. If you want to make this state strong, Milwaukee has to be a part of that. Because you and I both know this is the driver of the state. I've seen numbers like 72% of the economy right. comes from this.
No question about it.
Yeah, and we've seen, you and I were talking during the break, the emergence of companies willing to move downtown. What does that say to you?
It says they're following their workforce. Their younger employees want to be part, not just live downtown, but work and recreate downtown in a more diverse community. So that's the wave of the future. And I think leadership absolutely makes a difference. And thankfully, today, we have metropolitan leaders who want to work together. We're not fighting with each other.
And I think that's right. And that is the answer. Even as fractured as the political system is in Wisconsin, we saw agreements on the Brewer Stadium.
Right.
We saw shared revenue happen, which...
Well, the Fiserv, same thing.
Fiserv, yeah. So we've seen examples of that, sort of an inkling that we might be moving in the right direction.
Right.
Can we do enough of that?
Well, it's all about leadership, Steve, and about people. I would put my faith in the younger generation saying, we want this. They're not sitting back and saying, okay, whatever you older guys want to do. No, you either change with us or we'll change you.
I'm glad you mentioned the younger generation. We're going to take a break here in a second, but I do want to get back to that corporate concierge concept, because one of the things I noticed when I was speaking to your organization was the youth in that room.
Right.
And I think there's some magic there. I want to explore that with you. Our guest, Carl Miller, Miller Communications, on the upswing right here in WTMJ. The upswing on WTMJ. This is not your regular host, Jeff Sherman. He is off on a well-deserved day off. I am Steve Scavitti, host of Political Power Hour on WTMJ. My special guest for this entire hour, Carl Miller, Miller Communications, corporate concierge, a concept that I learned when I spoke to your group a few weeks ago. Define it for me.
Right. So there's somebody whose major job is to help you not only navigate your workday, but your whole life, recognizing that we've got a lot of, especially younger women who have families and a lot of responsibilities and working husbands and the like. So how do we help you obtain whatever you need to stay at work today and make it through the day? But then when you go home, how do we help with that? There's something really challenging you that not only is distracting, it may upset your whole day. Well, here's somebody who's like, okay, you need to get the dry cleaning done, or you need to order out dinner tonight because you got guests coming in, no time to cook.
It's a novel concept.
Yeah, I would credit the genius of that to our CEO, Lori Richards, who lives that kind of life, you know, as a working husband, two young daughters. And, you know, how do you keep not only people on the job, but motivated and happy?
I met your corporate concierge, Veronica Pope. Actually, right. It's my podcast this morning. It was published. You want to hear that story? It's amazing. And she's done a bunch of other cool things. Veronica Pope, text Steve, STEVE, to 855-616-1620. Get a link right to the podcast. Scavittiology podcast, everything other than politics, which I get to focus on Monday through Friday. All right, we got a little bit of time. I'm a big fan of you, as you know.
Right.
Thank you. And we've known each other for almost 20 years.
Right.
You've talked about your journalist background. You've talked about certainly your political background. And as a local business leader, you're one of the best. Lessons that you've learned in that rich experience, that rich life that you live, looking like Bob Uecker or something. What have you learned in all those years?
Yeah. So I get a lot of young people asking me this, you know, tell me what worked
for you. Did
you
just call me young?
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely the same age as the guys I'm starting to call young.
There you go.
Right. So I get asked that question. And I tell them, you know, let me try to keep it simple here. It'll get complicated fast. Always do the right thing. What do you mean by that? Well, you know, sometimes in life and your job, it's hard to figure out what's the right thing to do here. I'm really conflicted. And the thing I think is the right thing is going to be the hardest of them. Right. So you're always going to be pulled a different direction. Always do the right thing. Okay, so once you've figured it out, now actually getting it done, may really be painful and you're going to take a lot of hits, but I guarantee you, we're all done, you're going to feel a whole lot better and you can live with what you did.
One of the, I'm going to give you some praise as the sort of the leader of, and the founder of Miller Communications. I talked to your group, and they have that same message. It's right. Not about dispute or arguing. It's about getting things done, doing the right thing, as you just said. And one of the things that's frequently talked about from a talk show host perspective is the disparity between generations.
Right.
That doesn't have to be our reality. We can actually learn from different generations and excel based on those different experiences or right. different lives lived.
Absolutely. So the other thing is, I would tell the new employees, you know, I learn something new every day. I love that about this business. But the people I learn it from are people like you. You know why? All of us around here have been here a while. We kind of have our way of doing things. We've done this before, etc. You come in, you're not burdened by any of that. And one of these ideas pops loose, and I go, holy cow, why didn't I think of that? Well, because I've been here too long. We need those younger minds and ideas constantly to refresh us, keep us going.
All right, I got 30 seconds. What are you looking forward to in the rest of 2024?
Well, Brewers in the World Series, certainly.
Nice. I would well, you went to the big to, one, right?
Yeah,
good.
Absolutely. really looking for, we got, you know, an election coming up. I'm looking for positive results out of both the spring elections and the fall elections, and a change, especially at the state and federal level. We need to change the kind of partisan bickering that's kind of got us in, you know, mired down into unable to do anything positive.
Thanks for coming in. When they told me I was going to do the upswing on this Friday, I said I want Carl Miller from Miller Communications. And you delivered. Always great to talk
to you,
my
friend. Love you, Steve. Absolutely.
This has been the Upswing on WTMJ.